The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Share with you today at the beginning of a new year as we worship the Lord together. And I wonder if you can turn in the community life to the outline that's there, and you'll notice a familiar couple of words that goes down the page. As I just want to share an encouraging word. I had a father who had truisms or axioms that he used to pass on to us. And I thought, you know, I'm in my 60s now. I'm probably at an age where I can pass on a few. And I was reflecting a little bit through the week as we've entered into a new year of journaling. And one of the things I love about God's word is its freshness. And I went back and compared my journals this year, the first 3 or 4 days, with the previous years, as I've kept the copies of the journals and often refer to them when we're speaking on a particular passage. Always good to be able to share the insights that God may have given you over the years. And it's interesting to see, for me, to see that all of the reflections and all of the word that God was giving me out of the 2 or 3 chapters each day was different year by year. That he had something for me that was new and it was fresh. Axioms or principles are things that we are to live by. And today in our scripture, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said something very interesting. He said, let your yes be what? Yes. Let your no be. And anything else that's added is from the evil one. Isn't that interesting? Let your yes be yes, your no be no, but anything else that's added is from the evil one. That's your insight. That's your plus. That's your stretching of the truth. That's what you may add on to the reality or the truth. Truth is very liberating. I've been talking to some little people through the week about the fact that when we speak, if you speak the truth, you never have to worry about what you've said or being caught out or found out. Ever been found out? Oh, you're not like me. Oh, I've been found out a few times. And the reality is if we stretch the truth or we don't speak the truth, as I shared with a couple of little people, for a number of years in our family context, I was excluded from family conversation because the family couldn't trust me. I found that pretty hurtful. From about 11 through to about 14, I think I got my last scrapping at 11 because I told a fib, I told a lie. And Dad, because I'd embarrassed him and embarrassed the family, excluded me from important family conversations for a couple of years. I learned a pretty good lesson. Pretty good lesson. Principles are really important, and what comes out of our mouth, really important. There should be an integrity to that. There should be a wholeness. It should match the way that we live. What we say should match the way that we live, etc. And one of the verses of Scripture that I love is 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new, repeated, has come. And we love New Year's. We love New Year's because there's a freshness about it, and it's almost like we can start over again. And we can draw a line in the sand, and certainly from a calendar's perspective we do that. And we begin to move on. And I want to share with you some axioms or some principles. Probably 15 years ago now, I was in Melbourne and had opportunity to be with a Christian counsellor who was on the Australian Board of Churches of Christ at that time. And in conversation with her, she said 2 axioms that I have repeated hundreds of times. One, because of their impact on my own life, but 2, because I believe they've been very helpful in the lives of others. First of those axioms is this: you cannot go back and make a new beginning. But you can begin now and make a new ending. You can never wind back the clock. Can never wind back the clock. But we can make a decision. We can draw a line in the sand and say, well, the story from this point on is going to be different. But that's where the other axiom comes in and is very helpful to us. The other axiom is your history is a resource. It's not meant to be a residence. In other words, we're meant to learn from the mistakes or even the successes of the past, and we're to build on those for the future, but we're not meant to live there. And if you live in past successes, Paul says you've got to forget those things that are behind and press on. And that means failures as well as success. It's not just the bad things that we're to forget. We're also to forget and not rest on our successes or our laurels, so to speak, but we're to move on and to build for a positive future. Very, very important that we do that. I got a little bit of a milestone. Well, I don't have a milestone coming up. We've got a milestone coming up. Julie and I are about to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. Unbelievable. Can't believe it. And I thank my thanks this morning in our prayer time with Rod was thanking God for Julie and for her incredible sacrifices through the years and the support for me in ministry. But, you know, one of the things that has been so important for us are having principles from God's word that help be the glue, help us build a relationship and a family. And if you don't base them on God's word, you're going to base your marriages, your relationships on something. And you had the choice. We had the choice. It's like what I say in a number of different instances, what you choose to believe determines how you live. You have the choice, but we all believe in something and we're going to actually live our lives on the basis of what we believe. So here's seven. I think that's right, isn't it? New, three, year, four. Here's seven little axioms for you. I hope it's a little bit of fun, a little bit of encouragement for you. The first of those is this is a now year to live with a now God. Remember doing a seminar years ago where the fellow said, don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. And he said, if you want something done, give it to somebody who's busy. Because busy people tend to do things. Don't procrastinate. Do things as you have opportunity. And it's interesting, I say a now God, because our God is a God of the now. I tell you, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. And I am staggered by the number of thinking people who put off major decisions and keep procrastinating. And it actually ruins their lives. And there's no greater decision than to make a decision now about than your relationship with God. Your own journey with the Lord. And if you haven't settled that, if you haven't settled that you need to make your peace with God, then I want to encourage you to do that. But you may think of other things that you are putting off. God is a God of the now. You're not assured of tomorrow. You're not assured of the week after. You're not assured of the month after that. Every day is a gift. And my encouragement is, see that God is a now God. And see that now is a moment to cherish. And I've spoken with a number of you over the last year in the pastoral sense, and you have learnt this lesson. There's been some surprises. There's been some wake-up calls. And it's actually a reminder to us to make the most of every day and every opportunity. So this is a now year to live with a now God. And then I want to suggest to you that we need to live with an eternal perspective. Eternal perspective. It's really important that we do this because that affects the decisions that we make in the now, doesn't it? If you are thinking long term, if you are thinking big picture, it actually helps you in your decision makings moment by moment. Now, you've got a great scripture in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, where John said, this is the testimony, this is the word, the record, that God has given us eternal life and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now notice what he speaks about. He speaks about eternal life in the present tense. He doesn't speak about eternal life in the future sense. Most times when we use the expression eternal life, we're thinking eternity. Well, actually in the scripture, it's present tense, it's here and now. And eternal life is a quality of life that begins now in relationship with Jesus. And my encouragement is to think big picture. I think it was Rick Warren in his 40 Days of Purpose that says, if you haven't learned how to live now, then you're not going to live in a quality way for eternity. And if you haven't taken the time to think about making preparations for eternity, then you haven't learned how to live in the now. It's really important that we think about our lives in the bigger picture. And there's nothing more important than the eternal perspective. And for me, it is my motivation, one of my motivations that gets me up and gets me going when I don't feel like getting up and getting going. And that is that there is so much that can be accomplished. That God chooses me as his co-worker and that he would work through us to make a difference for eternity in the lives of other people. Live with an eternal perspective. Okay? Got it? Yeah? All right. Some of you have. That's good. Okay. Third one. It's important to wait on God in prayer. You agree with that? A prayerless life, as we've discovered, is a self-sufficient life. You don't pray, if you're not reaching out to God in prayer, if you're not seeking to hear God and hear God's plan for your life, you're living a self-sufficient life. You're living basically as a Christian agnostic. You think you can do it in your own strength. And we've had a year of love, pray, live. We've been wanting to emphasize the importance of prayer on a personal basis. And it's so important that we learn to wait on God in prayer. Interesting, this morning the challenge, I had a couple of little girls in the house and Julie had left early to come down and make preparations and I was wanting to have time with the Lord and the patter of feet, you know, a lot earlier than they were meant to be. I think you need to go back to bed. And the patter of feet, just a few minutes later, I think you need to go back to bed. And then the patter of feet, and out they come again. What are you doing, Pop? You know, and I've got my Bible open. Actually, it wasn't my Bible. It was my iPad and my journal. And I'm trying to have time and constantly being interrupted. Why do you do that? I said, well, waiting on God is what gives us and gives Pop perspective. I don't think you'd want to be around Pop if he didn't have time with Jesus. I don't think he'd be a very nice person to be with. Oh, well, you spend as much time as you like with Jesus, you know. They hope they're going to get some extra favours. They caught it. They understood. The reality is we need to wait on God. Now, it's not waiting for God to say something, etc. He's desirous of doing that. It's not waiting for somebody to come. It's not that kind of thing. It's an active waiting. And the Hebrew word's very interesting when it talks about this in Isaiah 30 verse 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him. Those that wait on the Lord, we've learnt and memorised in Isaiah 40, will renew their strength. They'll mount up with eagles. They won't run and be weary. They won't walk and faint. No, there is a strength that comes when we're actually active about the things of God. And we have an ear that is attuned to him and that we're listening to him. The importance of waiting on God in prayer. Reading a great book at the moment about the prayer life of Jesus. And two men, a father and a son, sharing their wisdom of their journey. And this man has he's a celebrated Christian leader, and he has five sons, and every son has become a minister. And now their sons and daughters are entering into ministry. And he's sharing how he had many a sleepless night waiting on God in prayer because he was concerned about the eternal destiny of one of his children. And then the children would share what happened to them because mum and dad had been waiting on God and the forces that were brought to bear in the direction of their life. Very, very powerful and encouraging. It's important to wait on God in prayer and to realize that prayer is conversation. It's as much God talking to you as your scripture is open as it is you talking to God. It's as much listening to his voice as it is you sharing your things with him. Okay, new. This is a now year to live with a now God. And we're to live with an eternal perspective. And we need to realize the importance of waiting on God in prayer. Now let's have a look at the year. I want to suggest to you that it's important that we realize at all times that you are loved. Any of you seen the movie The Ultimate Gift? Ever seen the movie Ultimate Gift? If you haven't, you're missing out on a treat. There are 10 axioms that come out in this story. Garner plays the part of a wealthy man. And the wealthy man is a very, very wealthy man, billionaire. And he's gone through and all the family are fighting over his inheritance. And he chooses the most unlikely of his family, a grandson, that he's going to leave his inheritance to. But the grandson has to go through an internship, so to speak, to qualify to receive the inheritance. And he doesn't actually know what he's getting. One of the most important truths this young man needed to learn was that he was loved. And you're hearing this man who has died guide him through these steps. And number 9, and the ultimate gift, is, son, I want you to know how much I've loved you and how I couldn't make up to you the fact that your father died working for me in South America. And I've carried that responsibility and guilt, but you have never spoken to me. You'd never talked to me. And it's just so moving and powerful to listen as they exchange. And you hear this young man saying, I love you too. And Garner, posthumously, you know, whatever, he's gone, but he's still got this DVD that they keep playing back and forth through the movie, of the words that he wanted to pass on to his grandson. And his grandson retraced his father's steps, saw a library that his dad had built. And the library he discovered was in his own name and he didn't even know anything about it. And amongst the poor in this particular country. And a very, very moving, very, very powerful. God so loved you, he gave. If you're ever feeling rejected, ever feeling hurt, remember there is a God, there is a Father who loves you, who is for you. You are loved. As the psalmist said, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart, why it rejoices in your salvation. Rejoices in your salvation. Or as 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. God loves you. God is for you. God wants to bless you. I will expect great things from a great God. Do you live your days with the glass half empty or half full? When you come to a set of traffic lights, do you call them stop lights or go lights? What sort of way do you approach your day? Do you wake up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, it's morning"? Or do you wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord"? There's a perspective on life that God wants us to have that makes an incredible difference. I set one of our little people, our little girls, back to bed this morning and I said, "Now, you got out that side this time. Just lie down and get up and get out that side and come out and be happy." And she came out and she was happy. I said, "Here's a glass of water. That'll flush the kidneys out. That'll make you even happier." "Oh, yeah, sure, Pop." You know. But the way we approach our life makes an incredible difference. Do you believe you have a great God on your side? Do you believe that this is going to be a wonderful year in spite of the challenges that will come your way? Are you going to trust him? I love the fact that Paul could say that in spite of all the circumstances of his life, and my goodness, he lists some stuff that would destroy many of us, but in spite of all that, he would say, "My God, in spite of all that's gone on, I've learnt to be content. My God will meet and supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." How rich is God? How much does he own? We need to tap into him. And we need to expect great things from a great God. A God who is able to do far more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. One of the tests for this young man was that he had to dream. And along the way he was given $100 million and a little girl dying of cancer had touched his heart and he decided to invest that $100 million in a $350 million project for a home for those dying of cancer, for their families while their children were getting treatment, etc., etc. Very, very moving. He admitted he didn't have a dream. He'd always just lived for himself. And now God was changing his heart. Now life was teaching him some important lessons. Expect great things from God, because he is a great God. Always give thanks. I'll seek to always give thanks. I remember having a stand-up fight with my dad one day. Because Dad said, "You can't thank God for everything." I said, "Well, Dad, actually, God's word says that you can." "Well, it's just not right. You can't thank him for some of the bad stuff that goes down." And I said, "Well, you taught me to believe God's word. You can thank him in the circumstances, but you can't thank him for the circumstances." And we went on a bit of a Bible hunt together. And I am so grateful that I had a father who would get into the Word of God and ultimately would humble himself before the Word of God, regardless of whether he agreed with it or not. He would ultimately submit to it, and he demonstrated incredible faith to us as boys growing up. But you notice something here? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. And some of you are struggling with that. Everything? Yeah, everything. Everything. Everything that we encounter, it alters the way we approach and the way that we go through life. And I can go and visit someone who's sick and come away hoping I've made some sort of encouragement, but the person is so despondent and so down. I've been to some people of faith who you walk away feeling encouraged, but they may be a week away from going into eternity because they are so positive and they're still giving life while they have life. It's really important to develop an attitude of gratitude, of being thankful. Thankful for everything. So many other scriptures we could share there. And finally this morning, I will make practicing repentance a way of life. My dad's axiom on this one was simply this: keep short accounts with God. Son, keep short accounts with God. When he knew, I don't know how he knew, but when he knew I'd been up to no good, he would look me in the eye of a morning when I got up and he would simply say, "How's it going with Jesus, son?" And he had steel blue eyes that would sort of look through you. He wouldn't just look at you, he'd look through you. And you knew he was reading stuff. And I'd say, "What do you mean, Dad?" "I'm just asking you the question. None of my business. It's between you and the boss. But remember, keep short accounts with God. I think you've got some business to do. On your way." Wouldn't say any more than that. And he had a way of commanding our attention. And I don't know how many people said to me as we'd shared ministry for some 20 years together, sometimes we deliberately avoid walking out that door when we leave the service because that's where your father is shaking hands. We didn't want to look him in the eye because he doesn't let go of our hand until we look him in the eye. Remember that, Bruce? Yeah. Yeah. Conviction. But it's a wonderful truth. Making repentance a way of life. Acts 11:18, God has granted repentance that leads to life. We're going to look at some things that are pretty hard to say over the next few weeks. One of those things is, "I forgive you." Another of those things is, "I'm sorry." They're hard to say sometimes. But, you know, taking this truth, I'll make practicing repentance a way of life, actually leads to life. It breathes life into us. This is a new year to live with an our God. Live with an eternal perspective. It's important to wait on God in prayer. Realize at all times that you are loved. I will expect great things from a great God. I'll seek always to give thanks, and I will make practicing repentance a way of life. Seven simple little axioms that I hope will be an encouragement to you as we move into the new year. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your commitment to us. And I thank you for the relevance of your word. And I just ask in the quietness of this moment, Lord, that you would give us a conviction to maybe take hold of at least one of these principles that you have spoken to us about and to put them into operation in a new and a deeper way this year. I just thank you that you want to set us free. I thank you that you want us to live lightly and freely in you. And Lord, I ask that by your Spirit you would enable us to do that. So thank you. Thank you for your word and thank you for principles that we can live by. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to give you a couple of minutes. Can you think of the one principle that I shared that is maybe the most impactful? And as we close this morning, we're going to close differently. We're going to close by greeting one another. We didn't have the greeting earlier. We're going to close by greeting one another, and I want you to share with at least three or four people the one principle that spoke to you the most. Hi, Happy New Year. This is going to be a year where I want to expect God great things from a great God. Hi, what's your name? Rod. Oh, hi, Rod. I just want to share with you this principle. Let's stand. All right, five people. And say, God bless you, Happy New Year, and...